Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. We are so excited that you decided to join us today on the Disney Parks Podcast. We have some great stuff for you this week. We've got some events coming to Orlando that we want to tell you about. We've got all kinds of movie news and even a meetup in December that you can attend no matter where you live across the country. So let's kick it off. Tony, you want to start us off with the first announcement?
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
Sure. We are going to have a Disney Parks Podcast meetup in the Magic Kingdom at the Firehouse on Main Street in Walt Disney World on Saturday, November 15th at 3 p.m. We are going to play Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom with our guest Ivy, who is going to teach us how to play this goofy game. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some goodie bags. And the goodie bags are sponsored by Megan from BigEarsAdventures.com. So thank you, Megan, for sponsoring the goodie bags. And come out. Bring your cards. Don't bring your cards. Bring your ears. Don't bring your ears. Whatever you want to do. But we will be there Saturday, November 15th, 3 p.m., Magic Kingdom, Firehouse, Sorcerer of the Magic Kingdom. Come and join us. We're going to have some fun.
Absolutely. I'm so excited about this one because the weather's beautiful right now and we're just going to have a ball doing something with it we don't usually do when we're in the park. So it's going to be great. Next up for December, Tony's really busy. He's going to be spending time with family. So instead of a usual meetup like we would normally do, we decided to do an online virtual meetup. So mark your calendar for Thursday, December 11th from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, the way this works is you got to email us and request an invite. It's the way the weird software is how it is. So I'm sorry about that. But unfortunately, you have to send us an email so I can email you back and with the invite. So just write to DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com and I'll, you know, send you an invite when the time comes and everything. Nobody's going to see your face, so don't worry about that. You know, you don't have to fix your hair or anything like that. You'll just see like a chat room. And you can log in from your computer or your mobile device and join us. We are going to be giving away prizes every 10 minutes for one full hour. So it's going to be really awesome. And I want to thank WDW Magazine. They have decided to be gold sponsors for this event. So thank you guys very much for helping us offset the cost of some of these prizes that we're going to be giving away. It's going to be a wonderful event. I hope everybody can come. You know, be sure to check out WDW Magazine. They've got a beautiful site there, wdw-magazine.com. So check them out. So excited about that one. Next up, we have coming very soon here to Orlando. The tickets may already, I think they're getting really close to getting sold out. So make sure you act on this one if you're wanting to do this. The Walt Disney Birthplace, an evening with Imagineer Bob Gurr. So Bob Gurr is an American amusement ride designer and Imagineer, if you're not familiar with him. And this amazing evening is going to include plenty of very special guests, magic memories, and a rare opportunity to meet a true Disney legend. There are an extremely limited number of tickets left. There will be some unique opportunities on this night that will only be available here. So you want to mark your calendar. The event is Friday, November 21st from 6 to 9 p.m. And it's going to be held here in Orlando at the Celebration Golf Course. And your ticket will include hors d'oeuvres and a silent auction to benefit the Walt Disney Birthplace. Prices start at just $49. So we're going to put a link in the show notes for you where you can get your tickets. And hopefully they'll still have some left. And you can come and chill out with us evening with Bob Gurr. It's going to be great. So, and then you wanted to talk about the next one coming with Robbie Sherman, right, Tony?
Sure. We have another event coming on Sunday, March 15th from 12 to 3 p.m. It'll be an afternoon with Robbie Sherman. Brunch is included and a cash bar is available in case you feel like a cocktail. a little Bloody Mary for your brunch. The event will take place at Howl at the Moon, which is 8815 International Drive here in Orlando, Florida. So you'll have to either be here or fly here. Robbie Sherman will take us on a musical journey through four generations of the Sherman family. He will also talk about the book Moose. Chapters of My Life will be available for purchase, and Robbie will sign that. You need to contact Adria Smith. For more information, you can send an email to bsmith9953@aol.com or call 407-256-3936 during some Eastern Standard Time. So if you're on the West Coast, take that into consideration. The tickets are only $50 for the brunch and to see Robbie Sherman. That is a great price for this event. You don't have to be a Disney at a fan club to attend this event, so don't worry about that. Get your tickets. You'll need to make your checks payable to World Chapter Disney at a Fan Club, and we'll put Adria's physical address where you can mail that check in the show notes if you want to mail her your check directly. Like I said, if you have questions, please give her a call, 407-256-3936. Mark your calendar right now. It's March 15th from 12 to 3 p.m., Howl at the Moon here in Orlando. Should be a lot of fun.
Yes, it's going to be amazing. And we have to thank Mad Hatter Adventures. Thank you guys so much. They made a really nice donation so that we could keep the ticket prices to this event very low. It's almost unheard of to be able to be to hear a legend like Robbie Sherman, you know, play the piano, perform in this intimate setting for such an affordable price. It's really going to be amazing. So exciting stuff. So next up, I found some exciting news on the internet this week. The new Disney Princess that's going to be coming out. So here's the deal. Frozen's been a big success. We all know that. The next movie is going to be called Moana. It's an animated comedy adventure that will sail into theaters in late 2016. And this film is going to have a very Polynesian feel, a South Pacific feel. Moana is going to set sail in search of a fabled island, and she teams up with her hero, the legendary demigod Maui. She encounters enormous sea creatures, underworlds, and ancient folklore. This film will be, you know, like an island-themed project for Disney. So that's exciting. And then next summer, Pixar Animation Studios' Lava, which is directed by James Ford Murphy, will feature a Hawaiian volcano named Uku, who sings a version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow and is looking for love. A singer, Kuana Torres Kali, provides the volcano's voice, whose look was inspired in part by Jackie Gleason. So now this is a short. Lava is the name of it, and it's going to be attached to Pixar's Inside Out, which comes out on June 19th. So some fun stuff from Disney Animation this week. It's crazy to think, you know, it's 2016 isn't very far away, and we're going to have a Polynesian princess, which is like the total opposite of the Frozen sister. So it should be fun.
It's like hot and cold princesses.
Exactly like hot and cold princesses. Yeah.
All right. I think I do know some hot and cold princesses.
I bet you do.
I do. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a preview for Big Hero 6, which is in theaters now. So now I can talk about this. I thought this movie was awesome. I think it had great characters. I think it had a lot of heart. More towards the boys and the men than the girls. It is not a princess film. So if you're not looking for a princess film, this film is for you. This is done by Disney and Marvel. This was based off of a old Marvel comic that they did. It was inspired by a Marvel comic featuring a breathtaking action that has heart and humor and all this great stuff in it. The two characters, Hero and Baymax is a robot that can determine if you need medical attention. So he can scan you. If you say, ouch, Baymax comes out of his little box. He blows up. He's his little, like, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And he will scan you and then, you know, fix your ailment. But it turns into this whole other thing with the big heroes and it's robots. It was just a really great movie. If you have nothing to do, please take your kids to go see this movie this weekend. You will not be disappointed. If you're here in Orlando at Walt Disney World, over at the studios, there is a meet and greet for Hero and Baymax. And you can go get a Stay Puft Marshmallow hug from Baymax. just don't wear anything sharp because he could pop. And, you know, go talk to Hero, and Hero will tell you all about, you know, Baymax and how we built him and all that kind of stuff. Also, if you want, you can do some crazy things. Go to baymaxphotobomb.com where you can upload your a picture, and then Baymax, you can put Baymax in that photo and then post it to Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and say goodbye to productivity because it is so fun. Yeah. You will spend an hour doing this like I did. I had a little picture of me and Ridley Pearson, and I put like Baymax in there. It's so fun. You got to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a picture of me you know, running the 5K, the Jingle Jungle thing, and I took one of those pictures and put Baymax in it because I could have used some medical attention. Yeah, you'll have a lot of fun with that. And really, go see the movie because I had a blast. I did not read anything about it. I kind of went in cold, not knowing what the movie was about, not knowing anything about the story or the characters or anything like that. And I really had a good time. And I highly recommend the movie for adults, kids, families, everybody. Another thing that happened was a couple of weeks ago, I think it was last week probably, I was sent a advanced copy of Maleficent, which is now out on Blu-ray and DVD. There's also a 3D version if you have, you know, 3D Blu-ray player and a 3D television and some 3D glasses. You can get the 3D version. I reviewed the combo pack, or I got the combo pack, which was the Blu-ray and the DVD. The movie was fantastic. I kind of, you know, went through the movie quickly because I had seen it in the theaters. What I really wanted to get to was some of the other things that they had put on this DVD and this Blu-ray. So they had a whole bunch of deleted scenes, which were nice to see, kind of how they fit into the story. There wasn't really commentary on them, which I sometimes like on the deleted scenes, when somebody can tell you, hey, this was going to go here, and this was going to go here, but there was none of that. You just saw these scenes, so you kind of had to figure out where they went. Another feature was called Aurora Becoming a Beauty. This is Ella Fanning reveals her lifelong love of Disney original animated classic, and she talks about the movie and things like that. There was another feature called From Fairy Tale to Feature Film, so it's the reimagining of Maleficent for a new generation, so how they turn the old fairy tale into this new fairy tale. There was building of an epic battle where you can see how they built that battle scene in the movie, which is always, you know, kind of nice to when they pull back the curtain and show you how they did that stuff. There was another feature called Classic Couture. So they go through how they built all the costumes and the jewelry and things, the head wraps and all that stuff for the movie. And then Maleficent Reveal, which they explore the layers of all the special effects that went into the movie, which is really kind of cool to see. So it's out on DVD now. We'll put a link to that in the show notes where you can go buy it on Amazon because they're always the cheapest place to get things. And like I said, there's the combo pack, which you can get the Blu-ray and the DVD. And I find that nice sometimes because sometimes you have the Blu-ray player at home and then your laptop, you know, doesn't have Blu-ray and you want to watch it on your laptop, or the kids want to watch it in the car and the car only has a DVD player. So that combo pack is usually a good deal. So go out, get Maleficent. It's on Blu-ray, DVD right now.
Yes, that sounds great. And if we can go back to Big Hero for a second, I loved it too. And I'm a princess girl, but it's a wonderful movie, great for everyone. And I think it's going to be really, really big. Today I posted on DisneyWays.com a video of what it's like to meet Baymax and Hero. Thanks to ThemeParkConcierges.com. Ramon is always, you know, there on the scene, first one for everything. And he went and met the characters and took a video and was nice enough to share it with us. So if you want to check that out, It's cool. Another thing you might want to check out, if you have a large group and you're all coming to Disney World, we would like to recommend that you look at vacationhomebooking.com. So with over 300 Orlando vacation homes to offer and over 15 years of experience, vacationhomebooking.com is certain to find the perfect Disney area home for your family vacation. All vacation homes feature your own private screened-in swimming pool, and many have a community clubhouse, Olympic-sized pools, jacuzzis, fitness centers, and much, much more. So why rent two hotel rooms? Our thanks to the sponsor of this episode, vacationhomebooking.com. And Tony, there's some really cool, this is like your wheelhouse, this next part, right?
I've been waiting to hear this for months. Months, maybe years now. They finally pulled the trigger and they made the announcement that Toy Story 4 will be in theaters in 2017. This rumor has been going around. You know, friends of mine have been saying, hey, it's coming, it's coming. I said, yeah. They announced it. And no better than John Lasseter directing it. And I don't know what it's going to be about. I don't care what it's going to be about. I just think this is going to be the best thing ever. It can't come fast enough. For me, 2017, that's way too far. What is it now? What's 2014? I got to wait 3 years.
Yeah, we're going to get Moana before we get this one. But you know what I just thought of? This is why they were doing the work on the ride, on the attraction.
Well, I have a feeling these two things are going to coincide and collide. You know, mm-hmm. We're going to get a perfect storm of a movie and a new attraction. All in the same thing. Now, I'm also, you know, talking about the park part. I'm hearing rumors that area where Toy Story Mania is now is going to be more themed towards Toy Story, period. So,
wow.
That's the rumor I'm hearing now. So, Pixar Place, I'm not hearing anymore. I'm hearing more, you know, just it's going to be a larger Toy Story experience back there. Either way, wow. I'd be happy, but, you know, it'll be interesting. So somebody asked me, well, what do you think they're going to do with this Toy Story 4? And I said, I have a feeling that the toys are going to go visit Andy in college. And then the toys are going to have a party, or they're going to, you know, go to school, or, you know, whatever.
It'll be fun, whatever it is.
Yeah. I'm sure... I hope they get the whole cast. Listen, Tim Allen will do it because he loves to do it. Tom Hanks will do it because he loves to do it. I just hope they get everybody to come back, and it'll be a great movie. I'm excited. They can't do enough with that franchise in my mind. But that's me.
Well, yeah, you and a lot of other people. That's great. So next up, we have some news from our correspondent over in Disneyland, Randy Crane from faithinthemagickingdom.com. Thank you so much for sending this over, Randy. So fans of Disney's Frozen will especially love this holiday season at Disneyland because it's going to be all over the place, just like here in Disney World. Anna and Elsa will be featured in a Christmas fantasy parade each day at Disneyland Park and over at Disney California Adventure Park. More songs from the hit soundtrack have been added to World of Color, Winter Dreams, for the show's second season. And returning this year is Olaf's Frozen Ice Rink as part of the Downtown Disney Winter Village. But that's not all, and not everything is frozen. They're also going to have the Jingle Jangle Jamboree in Frontierland, and that's going to be an all-new comedy and music show that invites guests to sing along on a wacky tale of Christmas in the West. And also, Randy sent us a really nice list of all the holiday happenings at Disneyland Park and California Adventure Park. So we'll put those in the show notes. And then also he's sent us about Downtown Disney Winter Village, which features Olaf's Frozen Ice Rink. Now from the Why Haven't They Done This Before file. Randy, you're so funny. Disneyland Park guests will be able to experience Fantasmic with the new viewing options beginning December 12th. Oh, this is exciting stuff. So similar to the options for World of Color at Disney California Adventure, Fantasmic will feature reserved and standby viewing as well as several all-new dining packages. So instead of staking out a spot along the Rivers of America hours before the show, beginning December 12th, a Fantasmic Fast Pass will be required to gain access to the show's new reserved viewing space. And beginning at Disneyland Park, opening Fantasmic Fast Pass distribution will take place along Big Thunder Trail in Frontierland. So that's where everybody's going to run because they still have paper Fast Passes in Disneyland. So you'll head over to Big Thunder Trail in Frontierland for your Fantasmic Fast Pass first thing in the morning. And they will be distributed on a first-come, first-serve basis with a suggested return time and assigned viewing section. And also there's going to be a non-ticketed area available in the viewing area each night for limited standby viewing on a first-come, first-serve basis. Guests have the option to receive a Fantasmic Fast Pass with the purchase of the new Fantasmic Dining Pack. They have some great restaurants that are working with that package. And then the existing premium viewing with dessert sampler package will no longer be offered after December 8th. Reservations for December 12th and beyond will be available for booking beginning November 12th. So that's, wow. By the time you hear this podcast, you'll be able to make reservations. Space is limited, so advanced reservations are recommended online at Disneyland.com, or you can call 714-781-DINE. So great stuff from Disneyland this week. It's exciting. It's we're just getting so close to Christmas. It's fast approaching.
Yeah, it is, and they have a lot of cool things going on over there. I know a bunch of people, friends of mine here in Florida, wanted to make a Christmas trek to Disneyland one year and really try and check out the decorations and things that they have going on there. None of us have been there during the Christmas time, and we thought it would be a cool idea to make a trip out there. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah. So hopefully maybe next year we get to do that. Before we get to the infotainment, there's a couple things I wanted to just talk about briefly. I'm not going to rant on these a long time. If anybody follows me on Facebook, you saw that I did my first 5K this past weekend. I did the Jingle Jungle 5K over at the Animal Kingdom, my favorite park in the whole world. And it actually wasn't that bad. Besides having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be in my corral at 6:30 for a 7 o'clock start time, of which I was in Corral D and really didn't start till, I don't know, 7:30, it seemed like, because they release all the corrals at a different time. I walked the entire 5K. So people say, hey, did you run? Did you do? No, I did not run. I walked at a very fast pace at different times of the race. And like Krista says, you know, said last week on our Animal Kingdom podcast, it does go uphill and then it goes back downhill. So I had to take that into account when I was trying to, you know, speed myself up or slow myself down. It's fun. There was some characters along the way. There was Donald, Chip and Dale, and Goofy. And it wasn't that bad. Now, I'm also going to say this. There was a woman that stopped me on the back side of the park and said that she listens to the podcast. And I did not, she did not tell me her name. I don't know her name. She gave me a hug, told me she watched, listened to the podcast, and then took off. So
that's awesome. So, oh my gosh.
If you are listening, please email us at DisneyParksPodcast@gmail.com and just tell me your name, and I'm going to send you something nice because I kind of needed the boost at that point in the race. It was kind of towards the end. My pinched nerve in my back was driving me crazy. So it was nice to see you and nice for you to acknowledge and say hello and all that. And so I'd like to send you something nice. If you can, email us, and then I'll email you back and get your address so that we can send you something nice. So, if you haven't tried a 5K, it's a nice place to start. You know, they call it the gateway drug to run Disney, and I can see why. The whole weird thing of, you know, the whole package pickup and getting a shirt, that's a whole process that, you know, I had our good friend Sarah walk me through because I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I didn't know there were race photos until later. There's a whole bunch of things that go on. I really felt sorry for the people that did the Wine and Dine half marathon. It rained the entire time of that race. And for us, it was nice and sunny, and it was cool out. So I feel sorry for them, but congrats to all the people that did the... The last thing I want to talk about before we get into the infotainment is this graphic I see going around the internet, and I really can't find any acknowledgement anywhere that this is real. But it looks like it's Anna and Elsa, and it says Disney Parks Frozen Christmas Celebration. And this is the renaming of the Christmas Day Parade. Now, it's really not a parade by any stretch of the imagination that we see. Why are we renaming something that's been the same for, like, what, 25, 30 years or whatever? That we've seen the Christmas Day Parade. Everybody wakes up on Christmas Day and they get to see, you know, Disney World and Disneyland and what happens at Christmas time. Now we're going to rename it the Disney Parks Frozen Christmas Celebration? Come on. That's crazy. That's not what it is. It's a celebration of Christmas, not Frozen. It's not the Frozen Parade. It's the Christmas Parade. That's just my two cents on that. I don't know how you feel about them redoing that, Krista.
Well, I understand why. There's a huge success of this movie since it was released last Thanksgiving. And it's, you know, it's become the highest grossing animated film and, you know, like of all time. So I see why they did it. There's still Frozen mania sweeping the nation. And I think they just want to bring some eyeballs to this parade. So, you know, I understand why they did it. But I doubt it will be this way forever. I mean, I'm sure it's going to go back to, you know, a regular Disney Parks Christmas Day parade, I would assume.
Do we think that more people are going to watch it because they put the word Frozen in it?
I'm thinking maybe that's what they're thinking. Because no. They're putting Frozen in all four parks, hoping that it'll bring people to all four parks. So
this is now my Christmas wish. I wish that nobody watches this just to prove a point to them.
Oh, well, good luck with that. That's not going to happen. Well,
I don't think slapping the word Frozen on everything, that means that I'm going to like it anymore. Actually, now, I want to walk away from anything that has Frozen. Because I've had enough. Enough is enough. There's only so much. There's a saturation point, and I'm beyond my saturation point now. Not everything has to be Frozen anymore. You know, there were, you know, hundreds of Disney films. I mean, I don't know. Enough said. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah, we're locals. I think a lot of the locals are getting a little bit burned out, but it's not that way across the country. So that's the way it goes. But anyway, we're going to move on into infotainment for this week.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast infotainment segment.
We have for you our list of best places for food and lunch and all that good stuff at Magic Kingdom. That's a park where sometimes you feel like maybe there's not a whole lot of options. And Tony and I are here to tell you that there are. We've got a really nice list for you. Reasons to try these different places. So hopefully we're going to recommend one that you maybe haven't tried in a while. So, Tony, you want to kick it off?
Sure. My favorite place used to be when I was eating meat. Back in the meat days, was Casey's Hot Dog. First place I always went when I went to the Magic Kingdom and had a nice hot dog and some french fries and just had a good time outside, inside. They've redone the inside of Casey's, so if you haven't been there in a while, there's actually now more seats. They got rid of the grandstands. They got rid of the television, I think, or the television is now back again. It keeps going away and coming back. They have hot dog nuggets in there. But Casey's is used to be always the first place I stopped. Now I just stop for ice cream.
Yeah. So, and also, you know what I forgot about is, I think it's pretty much every morning when they open Casey's, they do this whole celebration outside and they give away free Cracker Jacks, and they're still doing that. Yep. So that's really cool. A little insider secret. If you didn't know, try to get to Casey's really early in the morning, because you might see something pretty cool.
I think they open at 11. So if you're in the area around 10, 10:30-ish, they sing Take Me Out to the Ballpark, and then they give out Cracker Jacks.
That's awesome. Somehow I've never been around for that, but I know it happens because I don't know how I've always missed it, but anyway, it's great. I hope I got to catch it sometime. So the next one I wanted to talk about was Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe. This is a great place. I think I don't really go there for burgers personally. They're not the best, but you've got the three different areas to get food. You've got the chicken station and the burger station and the sandwich salad station. There's also that famous bar of fixings where you can, get mushrooms, melted cheese, all those other toppings just to customize your meal. That's fun. This one has, of course, Sunny Eclipse, who is, an alien from, where's he from? He's from U-Nork, and you can hear him sing and play and joke around, and that's awesome. And then the other day, Tony, I don't know if maybe you knew this, maybe everybody knows this but me, but the other day I was there and they were giving out little Sunny Eclipse stickers, and I just got so excited about my sticker because I'd never seen one of those before.
Yeah, I haven't seen those either.
It's so awesome. I took a little picture, put it on Facebook. Yeah, you might even get a Sunny Eclipse sticker while you're there. And just a little tip, you want to look at the menu before you get there. If there's a way you can look at it online or whatever, that kind of helps you out so that you're not wandering across the whole restaurant to see all the menus. So kind of if you can do a little homework before you go, that'll help you out. So at least you'll know which bay line to get into to get what you're looking for. So yeah.
This is... I like going there, and it's also a very big indoor place if you want to eat indoors and get out of the heat. The only bad thing is if you have, different people in your family, one wants a salad, one wants a burger, one wants chicken, you have to go to three different places inside the restaurant to get that. And that sometimes drives families batty, that they have to go to all three bays to get, lunch. So just be aware of that. When you go there, they do have a laminated copy of the menu, and it'll tell you what's available in Bay 1, Bay 2, and Bay 3.
Oh, okay.
Next on my list is, I hate to say it, one of my favorite places to go, because it's got a view of the castle, it's inside, and it's air-conditioned, and that's the Plaza Restaurant. If you go there, they used to have this special, which is now on the menu, and it was the meatloaf special, kind of like an old-fashioned blue plate special. And now it's just a regular item on the menu, but it's delicious. It's served with mashed potatoes and a vegetable. Out of this world. Back in my meat-eating days, that's what I used to get. I now get a kind of a caprese sandwich. It's mozzarella, some vegetables, and a nice on a focaccia bread, which is good if you're not looking for the meat. It's very hard now. It seems to be getting harder to get reservations here because the cat's out of the bag. Everybody knows that you can get table service in this. It's very small inside. And you can use your Tables in Wonderland card as well.
Yeah, the strawberry salad's great too. I don't even like strawberries, so I leave those, but I eat everything else. I highly recommend that. The next one that is probably one of my favorites is Pinocchio Village House. Pinocchio Village House is fun. Like, if you go there sometime when you're maybe not even hungry, you can explore all the different rooms they have and the murals on the walls. Cleo, the goldfish in stained glass. I mean, just so sweet. And I love this restaurant. It takes some great pictures because the sunlight comes in the windows. But also, they have really good flatbread pizza. That's probably my favorite thing to get there at Pinocchio Village House. And, of course, there's those famous big, huge windows that if you sit near them, you can see people go by on the little boats for It's a Small World. And it's always fun to wave down at the people in the boats and while you're, just eating your flatbread pizza and having a good time. They've got a nice area outside, too, now where you can, sit under the umbrellas and eat outside if the weather's nice. So it's a good one.
Yeah, that's a nice little addition that they did there.
Yeah, nice fountain, too.
Yep. Next on my list is the ever elusive Be Our Guest. Here's the problem now. Now that people staying at a Walt Disney World resort get invited to this, I'm going to call it a fast pass lunch, where you can order your lunch online, show up at a certain time, get your seat, and then the food will be brought to you pronto quickly. It is very hard to get in here for lunch now. A lot of times, they'll just turn you away. There's not even a standby line because the fast pass lunch has filled up the restaurant. They're only open, I think it's now from 11 till 2, and then they're closed until 4 p.m. for dinner. So that's the hard thing. If you can get inside, I like going for lunch almost better for dinner. I feel the portion to cost is a little bit better. I haven't been there for lunch since I've gone vegetarian, but I used to get the carved prime chuck roast beef sandwich on millet bread, served with, I think they call them palm fries, which is French fries, and that was delicious. My preference is lunch. There's a lot of good tasty things there, and some things there that they're really not doing in the other quick service places, so if you can, give it a shot, try Be Our Guest, try the roast beef sandwich, and then tell me what you think.
Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. And I haven't really gone a lot because I don't have the patience to stand in line. And, you know, now this other thing's happening. But anyway, hopefully you get back there soon. So the next one I wanted to mention to you guys is Sleepy Hollow refreshments. This is like a little hidden gem still, which really surprises me. You can go there and get some of the best snacks in all of Magic Kingdom. They've got homemade ice cream sandwiches, funnel cakes, and of course the famous, my favorite thing, the waffle sandwiches. So they have one with Nutella and fruit, and of course that's probably too healthy, so I don't get that one. I get the one with the chicken. So you can get waffle with this, you know, kind of sweet, spicy chicken. It's amazing. It's enough for like a full meal. It's not, I don't consider it a snack at all. Unfortunately, there's no indoor seating. So if it's, you know, really hot out, there's a few prized tables underneath some shade, and that's about it. A nice thing about it, though, you can see the castle from there and get, you know, kind of some cool pictures. It's kind of a different spot to be in for that. So get some pictures, get some chicken and waffles. It's a great little place, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, that is a good little place. It's kind of like right in the middle. It's right behind the castle. You know, After you're done with something in the hub, you can just grab a quick little snack over there. Next on my list is the Columbia House. And this is another great indoor place. There are some very cool places upstairs that face towards Fantasyland that you can sit at a table near a window and kind of people watch as you have your lunch. And it's quite entertaining. It was also a very good place when they were building Fantasyland to kind of go and peek over the wall and see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because we couldn't see that from the ground, but we could see that from up there. If you do go there, I had the lobster roll there maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and it was pretty good. It's a little pricey. It is lobster. I don't think they're using real lobster, though, but they are pricing it like it is real Maine lobster. It's a good sandwich, and it was nice and cool and refreshing. It's a cold sandwich, obviously. It's not a hot sandwich, and it was good and tasty, and Columbia House has got a nice amount of indoor seating, so give that a shot if you're right near Sleepy Hollow.
Really, really great place. The next one I wanted to mention was Gaston's Tavern. So, of course, this is in New Fantasyland, and they are famous for the pork shank and the LeFou's brew. So if you get both of those together, I'm telling you, it's great. It's way more than a snack as well. I mean, it's considered a snack or whatever, but it's a lot of food. I believe they're still selling those amazing cinnamon buns there as well. So if you haven't tried Gaston's Tavern and you like pork, you'll want to go ahead and get a pork shank. Check out Gaston's chair, the fireplace. It's just, it looks like Gaston and LeFou just stepped out for a little while, because, like, all, you know, the darts are still in the dartboard. It's really cool. That's a fun one, too. I love that they put that in New Fantasyland.
Yeah, sometimes that place gets pretty busy around lunchtime or even the afternoon.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of seating in there. There is some stuff outside, but if you're looking for some air conditioning, that's a tough place sometimes. Next on my list is Tony's Tavern, right in the front of the park. Great place to have some lunch right there on Main Street, which I always enjoy. The last time I was there for lunch, I had the Meatball Trio, and that was a delicious sandwich. So three different kinds of meatball. I can't remember. I think one was like lamb, one was regular, one was spicy, I think. But it was a very tasty sandwich. You can eat inside or you can eat outside. You can eat, they have like almost like a greenhouse kind of thing, which is kind of inside, but a lot of glass, so you can people watch everything that's going on Main Street. If you time it right, you can see a parade or two while you're having your lunch or your dinner. It's not a bad place. Pricing's not too bad either there. You know, give that a shot. They do take tables in Wonderland. Also at Tony's. So.
Absolutely, yeah. The next one I wanted to mention is the Lunching Pad. So if you recall, this one's kind of underneath the Astro Orbiter. If you blink, you might miss it. You got to kind of know it's there. I personally don't eat there a lot because I don't eat hot dogs, and that's pretty much what they do there. They have a Philly cheesesteak dog, a BLT hot dog, a Coney Island dog, and the reputation, and Tony, you'll have to tell me, but I've heard that they are not as good as Casey's with the hot dogs there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's okay. They do some interesting things with hot dogs. It's not just a hot dog there. I think they did like a taco hot dog once. So just be prepared to have a crazy hot dog, not a normal hot dog.
Try something new. Yeah. So yeah. If I went, I would go for the cream cheese pretzel. So you can get a cream cheese pretzel there for under $5. And that sounds great because sometimes you just need a good cream cheese pretzel.
Yeah. I haven't tried one of those yet. Everybody rants about them.
Mm-hmm. We got to go there.
Next up is Tortuga. And if you're looking for some Mexican, this is the place to get it. They have lots of different kinds of burritos and tacos and taco salads. I typically now do the vegetarian burrito, which is delicious. And they are huge. I would probably guess it's probably about a half a pound of meat that you get with your, you know, beef burrito. It is huge. They have no real... There is a very few places inside that are... have good air conditioning. A lot of it seems to be outdoor seating. And it can get very crowded at lunchtime. So just try and do this place off peak, a little bit earlier or a little bit later. I seem to always find that that's the best there at Tortuga. It's right by Pirates of the Caribbean, so a great place. Once you get off Pirates, you know, head on over to Tortuga and get a big burrito.
Good stuff. And they've got some cool stuff hanging on the walls too. You can check out. That's a fun one. Next up is the Main Street Bakery, which most of us now know as the Starbucks, right on Main Street. Of course, this location has Starbucks drinks and treats and all that stuff that we're all addicted to. There is no indoor seating. You kind of got to just stand up. There's a couple of places where there's kind of a counter, but still, there's no seating. You got to stand, you know, eat your cake pop while you're standing up. If you're on the Disney dining plan, you can use one quick service credit here to get an entree or a non-alcoholic beverage, or you can also get a combo of whole fruit and a pastry and a non-alcoholic beverage. So there you go. That's quite a bit for your quick service credit. Starbucks is great. I love the Frappuccinos. Even the one that tastes a little bit like coffee. I'm not a huge fan of coffee, but I like that one. And you can definitely feel the caffeine in it. It kind of keeps you going so you can do some more rides and have some more fun while you're at Magic Kingdom.
I love my coffee.
Yeah.
More coffee to beer.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be a Starbucks every 5 feet, but that's just me. All right, next on my list is a Pecos Bill Tall Tale Inn. Great place to eat inside. They have the best condiment bar in any park, period. I don't know of any... You can eat your way around the condiment bar. There's everything there. There's onions and cooked onions and raw onions and lettuce and tomatoes and the peppers, and there's everything there. Great place to eat inside. Lots of little rooms to go to get a table. The lines can get crazy here. Another place you want to do off-peak hours because it gets nuts. What I always tell people, if you are going to go at lunchtime, send somebody to go get a table while somebody goes and gets in line, because otherwise you'll have food and then no place to eat. There's a couple of things, tables outside too. If it's nice enough, you can eat outside as well. My favorite thing there now is the veggie burger, because I can get a veggie burger and then put tons of condiments on it. I think they even have chili at the condiment bar now too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. But go check out Pico's Bill. It's right near Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain. So once you come off those, you know, Big E attractions, you can run over to Pico's, grab a burger, and have a good time.
Absolutely. So my final one for today is Sunshine Tree Terrace. So, of course, this one's over by the Aladdin's Carpets and all that fun stuff. And actually, if you sit down long enough at Sunshine Tree Terrace, you'll probably see Aladdin and Jasmine meeting and greeting with guests. So that's fun just to kind of watch that happen. But this one, of course, has the citrus specialties. They've got the orange slush, citrus swirl, raspberry lemonade slush, which is really good, juice. They've got chocolate and vanilla soft serve ice cream, iced cappuccino, even chocolate chip cookies available at Sunshine Tree Terrace. And, you know, you can look at that little orange bird and just kind of reminisce. And it's just so kitschy and awesome. And if you have time to check out Sunshine Tree Terrace, you'll want to stop in there, because it's always good. And they always have the fun little souvenir glasses or cups or whatever, which, Tony, you probably have a lot of those souvenir cups, right?
I don't. I'm going to say it. We did as kids, and now we can't find any of them. So...
Aww.
Yeah, we had them from the good old days, and now I can't find anyone, but yeah, I maybe should probably go get a couple. They do have some cool orange bird things downtown Disney at the co-op.
Yes, they do, which is great. And, you know, they only have orange bird here in Magic Kingdom in Florida, which is so cool. Like, I thought he was maybe in California, too, a little bit, but he's not. He's totally a Florida bird. So.
Yeah. Yeah, he represented the Florida Orange.
Tropicana.
Yeah, no, the Florida Orange Growers. That was the mascot for the Florida Orange Growers. Was the Orange Bird.
Cool.
The last thing on my list is over at Tomorrowland Terrace, and it's the Pasta Primavera Shrimp. Now, I would tell you to go try it, but they're never open. The Tomorrowland Terrace,
It's hard to catch it open,
It's only open on 24-hour events, Christmas party to get your hot chocolate and your cookies, and I think during Christmas when they're at capacity and there's really no place to eat. So that's when you can go try something over at the Tomorrowland Terrace. If it was me, I would have it open all the time because I think it's a great place to eat. It's not... none of the seating is inside. It's all outdoors, so you're not going to get any good air conditioning if you're looking for that. When it is open, it's a great place to eat, but it's got a great view of the castle. You can sometimes, if you're sitting in the right place, you can see the parade floats as they come from Liberty Square down through Main Street. It is a nice place, but it's never open. Be warned that it may not be there. Be open when you try to go eat there.
Yeah, it's pretty seasonal. Usually I'm able to find out, though, when it's going to be open. So if you really need to know, just send me an email or Facebook, and I'll see if I can find out for you. It's hard to catch sometimes, but good stuff there. They have a lobster roll at dinner, if you can catch it. So.
All right, I think that does it.
All right, so that wraps it up. So we hope we enjoyed our list of ideas for places to eat in Magic Kingdom, maybe some new fun things to try. We thank you for listening. I know there's a lot of great podcasts out there. Thank you for tuning into the Disney Parks Podcast, and we will see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc., are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon a star, your dream.